He doesn't want to tap the WrestleMania.
He's fighting for his life here.
Michaels reaching. He's leaping. He's lunging for a rope, for anything. And now Angle's right behind the legs. And look at that hideous position of Angle's ankle, or of Shawn Michaels' ankle. It's in a sick position. It could break at any moment.
Welcome to Last Match Standing, the podcast where we review, relive, and rank the greatest wrestling matches of all time. As always, I'm Spencer.
I'm just a sexy Kurt.
I make your ankle hurt.
And it is the Season 5 premiere here at Last Match Standing, and we have one of the greatest matches of all time from April the 3rd, 2005 in Los Angeles, California, from the Staples Center. It's WrestleMania 21.
WrestleMania goes Hollywood.
And it's the Heartbreak Kid Shawn Michaels going one-on-one with the Olympic gold medalist
with
Kurt
a broken freaking
Angle.
Neck.
Is this the most requested match you've ever had on the show?
Yes.
It's up there.
It is
up there.
Really, really, really up there. And it's been one of my favorite matches of all time for a really long time. Mm-hmm. I mean, two all-time greats, arguably both in their prime,
yep,
at the largest wrestling event in the world, giving the performance of a lifetime.
Yes.
But doing research for this one, interestingly enough, I found a vocal minority who consider this match to be the most overrated WrestleMania match of all time.
Well, then get the fuck out.
So,
really?
I'm interested. Yes. Huh. So I'm interested to see, with a critical eye going in, what we're going to think after watching 80 of the greatest wrestling matches of all time before Season 5, in the Season 5 premiere. What were our thoughts? What do we got?
A huge thank you to everyone for our Season 4 finale episode that we released just a week or so ago. Big shout out to you guys for all the feedback that we got for our matches throughout Season 4. For our rankings throughout Season 4, the thoughts that you had on how we can improve the show, things like that. We really, really appreciate it. And I cannot believe it. We are now 4/5 of the way to 100.
Oof.
And Season 5, we will hit episode and match number 100.
Oh, my God.
If you can believe it.
You're right. I didn't even think about that.
Yep.
How significant it is that we're starting Season 5.
It's
we're
a big
only
deal.
20 episodes away from creating what we set out to do,
mm-hmm,
4 seasons ago.
3 years ago.
To
Man.
Find the 100 greatest wrestling matches of all time and rank them.
And now is as good a time as ever to join us as part of our journey here towards 100. Because you can tell us what matches you want to see here in our next 20 and perhaps beyond, right?
Tell
so
us.
Make sure you are following us on Twitter and Facebook at Last Match Cast. Make sure you're subscribed to us on YouTube as well. We drop all of our episodes there, and we'll have more video content for you guys throughout the course of Season 5. Make sure we are also on Instagram at Last Match Standing, and you can email us at lastmatchstanding@gmail.com. gmail.com. If you have any Matt suggestions, any thoughts on rankings, any thoughts on anything you have for us, we would love to hear it. We can obviously, if you're listening to this as an audio form, you're listening to us on some podcast platform. So if you're doing that on Apple Podcast or Spotify or Stitcher or Apple, whatever, any other podcast format there might be, we would appreciate subscribing, a review, leave us a review. We get so much help from those reviews, not only feedback from you guys, but it also is just helpful for us as a whole. So
it helps
thank you.
Algorithm.
It helps people find us, and that's really the best way. If you really wanted to help out our podcast, you like what you're hearing, review. Go leave us a review. It really does help.
Even if it's negative, it puts us more in like line to get recommended.
Yeah. More. Shit all over us. We want to know how bad we really are.
So
I enjoy that.
Actually. Also, as a great way to keep up with more things Last Matt Standing, you can get and join our Patreon, which has exclusive early access to our episodes, as well as our Last Mania Standing WrestleMania spinoff, where we review, relive, and rank every WrestleMania in history.
Is it time to make a Last Mania Standing t-shirt?
Yes.
It's time. I think it's time.
It's time.
We've
for
done
Last
30
Mania
episodes.
Standing.
It's time to make a t-shirt.
It's been really, really fun. If you haven't joined us for there, we do things just a little bit differently. It's scientific. You can't be argued. But it's really, really fun. And then we also have our trivia episodes on Patreon as well. Last Trivia Standing. And if you want to be part of those trivia episodes, you can do that. You can join our Patreon on a specific tier. And a part of those benefits is to join us. We've had three great last patron standing series so far.
And
they've
that is
really fun.
Absolutely, my favorite part about what we do is getting to interact with every one of you in being able to not only just read the reviews and the emails and the tweets that we get, but the patrons that actually interact with us on a daily basis, be it through the Discord or through Last Trivia Standing in our Last Patreon Standing series. It's just so fun. We've met some incredible, incredible people and some really, really smart people as far as wrestling knowledge is concerned.
No
we've
kidding.
We've had thrice in a lifetime.
Thrice That's right. in a lifetime. It's been the most fun. And, you know, one of the things that we announced on our Season 4 finale that is a big deal to us that we want to continue to have a big deal emphasized on as we start Season 5 is we got our first sponsorship, our first ad here for Last Match Standing, because support for Last Match Standing is brought to you by Manscaped.
Does that read?
That's right. Manscaped is the best in men's below-the-waist grooming. And we've got some products here today we want to talk to you about before we get into Kurt Angle, Shawn Michaels. Landon, what product do you have from Manscaped?
So one of the things that really caught my eye whenever we got the Manscaped box in was the Manscaped Crop Reviver. Mm-hmm. It's just incredible. It's literally a ball toner. I'm not making this up. It's a legit product. And let me just actually, in French, the tonique pour les testicules. seriously, let me just read the directions to you. For an anytime pick-me-up, spritz your goods once or twice and let air dry. Can you imagine? I mean, think of the people who would use this product. How about Hulk Hogan? How about The Miz? They absolutely use this product every single day.
They're very toned.
What do you got?
Paul, what do you
I have the Lawnmower Number 4.
Oh, my God.
With its charging kit. And if you notice, there's no port on the actual kit itself. Therefore, this is a wireless charger. However, the base does need to be plugged in, but there's no charging here, making this completely waterproof.
Yeah, the Lawnmower 4.0, I know Paul uses it. He enjoys it. We've started to use it. It's been really a great product. And we're just really grateful for our friends at Manscaped for the products and for getting us sort of involved with this. We've had a great time with it, and we want you to have a great time with Manscaped as well. And you can do that by going to manscaped.com and using the code LASTMATCH for 20% off of your whole order and free worldwide shipping, which
worldwide.
Is a great deal. We know we have plenty of listeners, not just here in the States, but also overseas. So free worldwide shipping and 20% off when you use the code LASTMATCH on manscaped.com.
That's LASTMATCH at manscaped.com.
And as Manscaped would like me to tell you, Your balls will thank you.
Read the fine print.
I love it. Your balls will thank you. And God, you know what? I'm thanking you for listening to this episode, because what a phenomenal match we have to talk about.
And it's not overrated. You're overrated.
WrestleMania, you specifically are overrated. WrestleMania 21, WrestleMania goes Hollywood. We're not going to talk about the specifics of how we ranked WrestleMania 21 on last. We're not going to tell you how we ranked it. Here's Paul to tell you exactly how we ranked it. Oh my God. Okay. It's a good show. We enjoyed it. Point is, this is a great match from a great card. And so we've got plenty to talk about.
This is one of those things, and you know what actually made this work so well was the brand split, right? If you go back in time, when Raw and SmackDown were completely isolated.
2005.
And it's just like superstars actually stayed separate. And so anytime you had these cross-promotional battles, it was a big, big deal. Mm-hmm. And that's what we got here. But not only was it cross-promotional, SmackDown versus Raw, this was a dream match. Kurt Angle and Shawn Michaels had never tied it up before.
Nope.
And so before we get into how we got to WrestleMania 21, what are some other dream matches that we can talk about that we wish we would have gotten
that we never got?
2013 Brock Lesnar versus 1997 Scott Steiner.
Oh,
oh my God. Oh. That's good.
They'd still be fighting right now.
What about 1994 Owen Hart versus 2008 AJ Styles?
Man, you know, do you remember there was those rumors going around for a while that Shawn Michaels was going to come out of retirement to face AJ Styles
once he
made it to the WWE? You know,
I wish.
A peak Shawn Michaels and a peak AJ Styles.
Could you imagine?
I mean, come on.
How about 2007 Nigel McGuinness versus a 2019 Pete Dunne?
Oh.
Ooh, okay.
Sign me up.
Joint Manipulation versus Bruiserweight. I love it.
Got to do it.
Yeah, that's really good.
But if we're talking about Kurt Angle, how about this 2005 Kurt Angle versus Zack Sabre Jr. of today?
Ooh.
I need it.
That's why this episode is also brought to you by SmackDown versus Raw. You can make this happen.
What was the game where it was like fantasy warfare? It was when Goldberg and Lesnar at Survivor Series, whatever WWE game that was.
2K16.
Yeah. Fantasy warfare comes to life.
I bought that game with that hook.
So Shawn Michaels is no stranger to last match standing, right? We've had his greatest hits sort of on the show.
This would be, just as you should know, if you listen to our season 4 finale, we told you that Shawn Michaels has made our list 9 times, which makes today's episode Shawn Michaels match number 10.
But it's only his 8th singles match.
True. True.
I felt much better.
There was a rumble in there.
There was a rumble.
You know, there was a tag
Survivor
team,
Series.
Survivor Series,
yeah,
match.
Absolutely.
And look, he spent a long time in our number one spot.
Yes.
With Triple H versus Shawn Michaels. So let's just take this time to look a little bit back into his journey to see how he got to this one. So legendary career, 1988 to 1998.
10 years.
A decade of unforgettable match after unforgettable match, perhaps the most memorable comes in 1996 when Michaels goes the distance with Bret Hitman Hart in the one-hour Iron Man match leading to a victory in overtime. It was all anyone was talking about in the wrestling world at the time. And if anyone was curious about the other guys, well, let me tell you. WCW, April 1st, 1996, Monday Nitro, which aired the day after WrestleMania 12. Here's what was going on. The Giant beat Sting in 3 minutes by disqualification. The Steiners beat the Nasty Boys.
Your favorite.
Yeah.
Your favorite. You love the Nasty Boys.
And the Road Warriors. I'll never get that taste out of my mouth. Hulk Hogan and the Booty Man.
Booty Man.
Defeated Arn Anderson and Kevin Sullivan. And Ric Flair retained the WCW Heavyweight Championship against Lex Luger.
The Lexorcist.
I mean, if you put that up against WrestleMania 12, it's pretty easy to see why everyone was talking about Shawn Michaels.
Oh, yeah. Whatever the hell that show was probably great.
Unfortunately for Shawn, it all comes to a screeching halt after a casket match gone wrong. The spot herniates two discs in his back, and after bearing through the pain to deliver us an incredible main event of WrestleMania 14, Michaels is forced to retire. After a brief stint as a sportscaster for his local San Antonio news station, and hold on, I have to show you this picture because it's absolutely incredible.
Wow.
It's just wonderful.
Sorry you couldn't be with us that night, Sean.
Oh, my God. After a brief stint as a sportscaster for Spencer's not over it, for San Antonio news station, could you imagine living in San Antonio and having Shawn Michaels as your sportscaster for local?
Hey, guys, like, this week the San Antonio Spurs are going to play the Indianapolis Pacers, and they're probably going to lose because it's 1998 and the Pacers are going to win the championship this year.
Michaels is brought back into the fold, as we know, via Kevin Nash in the NWO in 2002, and so launches a second Hall of Fame-worthy career for Shawn Michaels, a series of incredible matches with Triple H at SummerSlam of that year. I think we know that one pretty well by now. This leads to the first-ever Elimination Chamber match, which he wins.
Should the first-ever Elimination Chamber match be considered for the last match standing list?
Yes. 1,000%.
Let us know what you think.
Give me a fucking mic!
What you think? How about an incredible Mania 19 match with Chris Jericho, which...
I'm better than you, Sean!
We've had
I'm
on the
better
list.
Than you!
The WrestleMania 20 main event triple threat match.
Another one that could be considered for this list.
Easy. And eventually, a torn meniscus would actually keep him out of action until January, which... we all know, means Royal Rumble time.
And this year, the Royal Rumble truly is all about the numbers. There's been over 44 big shows.
Not again.
You already made
over 152 competitors right have competed.
Kurt Angle, equally impressive career. This man's entire life is pro wrestling, or just wrestling in general. Obviously, Olympic gold medalist. When training for the Olympics, he would wrestle up to 10 hours a day. Oh, and by the way, he won the gold medal with
a broken freaking neck.
He fractured two of his cervical vertebrae, herniated two discs, and pulled four muscles and still won the gold medal. Like, that's just unbelievable.
No one's ever going to beat that record.
And here's an interesting story that I found when I was doing research for this. And I don't believe we've actually talked about this before, but if we have, I apologize. We've done 80 episodes.
We haven't talked about this.
Angle was convinced by fellow Pittsburgh native Shane Douglas to attend the Extreme Championship Wrestling High Incident event. And he actually gave an in-ring interview and provided guest commentary for ECW. The match was Taz versus Little Guido. It was just interesting because Nunzio actually has a role to play in this story.
Okay.
Moving forward. So,
yes.
But Kurt Angle ended up leaving the building that night in the middle of the show after Raven crucified bleeding Sandman.
No quotes. He actually did it. They tied him to a cross, and they put barbed wire on his head.
But did you know Kurt Angle was there that night?
No,
I did, but that's not the most common trivia.
What is the most common trivia?
Oh, that Sandman built the cross himself. He's a carpenter by trade.
Oh, my God. No, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
See, that's why Paul wins all of Last Match Standing trivia episodes.
But I'm not the champion.
Angle, shocked by the controversial imagery, and essentially he was afraid of his career prospects after showing his face at the same event that this happened at. I mean, just kind of not a great call by the ECW collective.
Well, here's the thing. I don't think Heyman knew they were going to do that.
They might not have.
Because everybody forgets, Raven had to go back out there and basically break her, like, hi guys, you chose to respect the privacy of Scott Levy, and apparently I have offended several people in the audience. If that's the case, I do apologize.
Raven actually apologized.
Broke character. Said it's like Scott Levy went out there and apologized for anybody that he offended.
But after this incident, Angle is offered a 10-year contract by the WWF after obviously being the Olympic gold medalist. It was interesting, you know. It sounds like a very Vince McMahon thing to do. But
wait, what year was this?
1996.
Oh, is this from a time that Bret Hart gets offered a 20-year deal that they couldn't, that they conveniently could not honor a year later?
Ooh. Ooh. but Kurt Angle, after getting offered this crazy contract, actually considered pro wrestling to be beneath him. He said that, you know, he would only do it, okay, I'll come in and do it if I win all my matches, because he felt that he could genuinely beat anyone there, so there was no reason in him to ever lose.
Yeah.
So, obviously, that didn't work out. But he started watching Raw. Okay, just to do it. And
as one does.
He developed a great respect for the sport of pro wrestling and saw the athleticism every single week. And he, especially for Stone Cold Steve Austin. Stone Cold Steve Austin may be single-handedly responsible for Kurt Angle changing his mind and coming back to the WWF.
What?
With his initial offer rescinded, he did have to try out again. But in 1998, he was offered a deal literally a few days after his tryout and immediately goes to work training with Dory Funk Jr.
Do you want to know what his first on-screen appearance for the WWF was?
Ooh, what is it?
It's on an episode of either Shotgun Saturday Night or Jacked. Tiger Ali Singh comes to the ring.
Okay.
And he sees Kurt Angle, and he's like, hey, you're the Olympic gold medalist, Kurt Angle. Why don't you come into the ring? And Kurt comes to the ring. Why don't you bow down and kiss my shoes?
Oh, Tiger Ali, yep.
And he was like, no, 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 no. And he's like, oh, why don't you throw the American flag on the ground? Doesn't do it. He does, however, throw down the Iraqi flag. But that's another thing.
It's a thing.
He embarrasses and humiliates Tiger Ali Singh before debuting a year later as a heel. They're in Pittsburgh. He's the big hometown hero.
Yeah, obviously. Angle quickly proves that he has just sort of a knack for the business. He goes into developmental, and after literally just days of training, debuts on TV. It's just incredible how much he just picked up on this after originally looking down on it.
Yeah.
Thank you, Stone Cold.
What I love is he debuted against Sean Stasiak.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's like a Survivor Series 99. And so when he wrestles, he comes out, hi, I'm your Olympic gold medalist. He's like, yeah, I'm this big Olympic hero, and just gets booed. So the crowd is booing him, and he gets on the mic. You do not boo an Olympic gold medalist. And you do not boo an Olympic hero. I'm the best in the world. And then
this
he just starts getting
character,
booed out of the building.
It just creates itself.
So the crowd chants boring, and so he does that, and then they start booing him, and then he responds with solid fundamentals. He just keeps giving solid textbook grappling, and so you get the boring chance, then he goes in there and rips the crowd apart, and then he starts getting nuclear heat.
I love it. I absolutely love it.
He kept that heat until the day he retired.
And 1 year into his WWF career, he's got the Eurocontinental Championship. He won the King of the Ring. He became the WWF champion 11 months after his debut. This is just an absolute greatest rookie career, I would say, in the history of pro wrestling.
If he had won a tag titles, he would have been a Grand Slam in 1 year.
In 1 year.
But think about the rise of Brock Lesnar.
Yeah.
I mean, similar in terms of somebody that came in accomplished in amateur
wrestling. He was never a Eurocontinental champion.
That's true.
But he won the King of the Ring.
He won King of the Ring. And
Test.
You know, the build towards the WWE title. Interesting stuff.
Which makes the WrestleMania 19 main event that much better if you look at it through that lens.
Yeah, absolutely.
But 2002, Kurt Angle is drafted to SmackDown. And he would go on to become one of the big four on that brand and really establish it as, in a lot of people's view, the dominant of the two brands.
Oh, yeah. Then a year later, we get SmackDown 6, and he is, top guy.
Oh, yeah. His SmackDown Open challenges were a big part of what made SmackDown so special. It opened the door for the likes of John Cena and ruthless aggression. After legendary encounters with the likes of The Undertaker, Chris Benoit, Rey Mysterio, Eddie Guerrero, and Daniel Puter, if you know, you know, he once again found himself in the championship picture, headed in to the Royal Rumble in 2005.
Let's say that Brock Lesnar, the first person to use a Kimura lock on WWF television.
Ooh,
baby.
That story.
Royal Rumble 2005. A good Rumble.
Great Rumble.
Yes, you get to watch Daniel Puter get bullied out of the company.
He sure did. This is the year that Cena and Batista go over at the same time.
And Vince tears both his quads.
Yep. If
That's
you
why he's not WrestleMania 21.
to be reminded as to the 2005 Royal Rumble. But we also get an incredible start of a feud.
Oh, yeah.
At the Royal Rumble in 2005. Kurt Angle's goal going into the Royal Rumble is to win so that he can challenge for the championship at WrestleMania 21.
That's exactly right.
That's the goal, right? And he and if you're watching, you know, WWE programming at the time, he's one of the favorites. You think absolutely he could very well be one of the one or two winners of this match.
Well,
right?
He's one of those that is always right there. It's like he at any moment he could be the WWE champion.
So in the Royal Rumble match, Kurt Angle's in. He's dominating, doing a great job. Out comes the Heartbreak Kid Shawn Michaels from Monday Night Raw. And you think, okay, Shawn Michaels is another guy that could win. Former champion, right? He's one of those that could any moment win the Royal Rumble match. And he eliminates Kurt Angle with the Sweet Chin Music over the top rope. And, you know, momentum stopped for Angle. Huge, huge moment in the match. And Angle doesn't let it go.
But you?
Well, as singularly focused as Angle was, like, this was the guy that ruined my chance at challenging for the WWE Championship at WrestleMania.
He stole my moment!
Gets back into the ring, picks up Shawn Michaels, throws him over the top rope, and is not done there. Hits him in the face with the steel steps, busting Shawn Michaels open, and then putting him in the ankle lock on top of those steel steps. It's a great image.
It's a fantastic visual.
Referee's trying to pull Angle off, but he's got the ankle lock on Shawn, who's just bleeding on, like, begging for help. You know, he's in excruciating pain. And so Angle gets his revenge on Michaels in the moment, but that sets the stage for what's to come.
It's absolutely incredible. This Royal Rumble, like you said, is excellent. And these two guys coming into it were on similar trajectories, right? They both had competed earlier that night.
Yep.
Shawn Michaels in a match against Edge to open the night.
Didn't you know me?
And then WWE.
Wait, what's the new one? You thought you knew me.
You thought you knew me.
but you have no idea. What's Edge's?
Yeah, it's
come
weird.
On.
it's another Alter Bridge song. Yeah. It's just weird.
And Kurt Angle competing for the WWE Championship in a losing effort against Big Show and JBL, right?
Yeah.
Wrestling God!
And this was the, oh my God. And after, this is the match where JBL wins and then goes backstage. And he's like getting the champagne shower, but all the champagne's getting in his eyes, so he can't keep his eye open. He's like trying to cut a promo with Teddy.
Right.
And he just loses. He's like, I'm a wrestling God. I'm a wrestling God. I'm a God. I'm a God. I'm a wrestling God. He's just fucking nuts.
I mean, who hasn't had that happen to him before?
It's great.
Right. that should be the next promo punishment that we do.
You throw champagne in their eyes?
Someone's got to recreate God. That.
God. He's pouring champagne on me. I'm a God.
But you got to do it as Terry Funk.
And this Royal Rumble 2005, is the West Side Story promo Rumble.
Oh, it totally is.
In Fresno, California.
This weekend, the Royal Rumble. Be there or be square.
The Rumble. I love it. And also...
That's so funny.
And okay. Another interesting tidbit before we move on from the Rumble.
Wait,
in
with
Fresno,
the great hair.
Everyone had that.
The pompadour.
If you haven't seen this promo...
It's a great promo.
I'll drop it in. It's great. It's great. This is Fresno, California, was the Rumble in 1996 when Shawn Michaels won.
Ooh.
So it's just, all of it is sort of playing into what we're about to get. So after the Rumble, Kurt Angle says he stopped the showstopper.
Show stopped.
And was ready to move on to the WWE Championship. He was ready to put it behind him. And he went into the championship contender tournament, and he defeated Nunzio, who is the man who he stole his Rumble entry number from to get into the Rumble, which I think is funny. He beat Nunzio and Rey Mysterio to advance to No Way Out to face John Cena in a number one contenders match to determine who was going to face the WWE champion at WrestleMania. Over on Raw, the coach approaches Shawn Michaels, and he's asking if he's seen all this stuff that Kurt Angle has been saying about him. So you said he stopped the showstopper. And Shawn's just like, look, I'm moving past this. He just lets it roll off his back
and
says
promo.
He
cool,
needs
whatever,
to,
man.
Right. And says that he actually needs to focus on No Way Out. That's where he should be focused. And sure enough, he's not focused and loses the match to John Cena, as we all know, John Cena versus JBL at WrestleMania 21. When there was some, dispute about which championship Batista was going to challenge for after winning the Royal Rumble, I guess,
yeah.
They
What's
went
best for Dave is if he goes to SmackDown and challenges for that belt. If he knows what's best for him, he'll go to SmackDown.
Oh, mm-hmm. So good. I absolutely love that angle.
Well, we need to redo that, but you need to be standing just outside the doorway for that look in your face like, oh, really? Okay. While me and Leonard are talking, you get to be Ric Flair, by the way.
Teddy Long is on Raw that week because of this sort of back and forth dispute. And he wanted – hi, Carolyn. I'm getting a phone call. Hi, Carolyn. he wanted to – so essentially – Teddy Long appears on Raw, and this opens the door for Shawn Michaels to approach Teddy and make a request. He said he wanted to challenge Kurt Angle to a match at WrestleMania 21.
Teddy, I want to challenge Kurt Angle to a match at WrestleMania.
That's exactly what it sounded like.
That's not Shawn Michaels' impression.
wait a minute. No, that sounded like someone else.
That is Shawn Michaels, the Heartbreak Kid.
No, who is that? That sounds like someone. No. It's
People Power.
No.
That's what it is.
Johnny
that's
Ace. Sounds-
Welcome to People Power.
Okay, that's true.
That's Johnny Ace.
Slight
but
difference.
Do Shawn Michaels saying, welcome to People Power.
Welcome to People Power.
It's just a slight tweak.
But you have to do the raspy voice because he has a throat injury which damaged his vocal cords, and that's why he sounds like that.
On SmackDown, Taz attempts to get an answer from Kurt on the challenge, but Kurt walks away. Mm. So the next week on Raw, there's a brutal street fight between Edge and Shawn Michaels. It's the rematch, it's the main event of Raw, and it's bloody. Kurt Angle shows up and just completely destroys Shawn Michaels after he's already beaten to a bloody pulp. And essentially accepting...
I accept your challenge, son of a bitch! I accept your challenge, Shawn!
On SmackDown, a man with a hoodie shows up to accept the Kurt Angle open challenge, right? Because, this is still a thing. And Kurt Angle immediately is just like, okay, well, obviously that's Shawn Michaels. He's going to show up and challenge him, whatever, let's do it. Well, as Kurt Angle is distracted with this man in the hoodie, man takes off a hoodie, definitely not Shawn Michaels. Kurt Angle, a little bit confused. Behind Kurt Angle, the cameraman takes off his mustache, takes off his cap, it's Shawn Michaels. And this is just, I don't know why, but this is just the coolest invasion angle to me. Yeah.
Anytime they pull it off that well where you can't tell, it's the best thing ever.
Well, and it's not only the fact that it happened, it's the fact that it happened in 2005 when Raw was an island and SmackDown was an island and there was no way you could cross these. Like, it was just so rare.
The forbidden door.
It was the forbidden door of 2005.
If you were going to invade, you had to be, you couldn't just walk onto the show. Yeah. You had to force your way in.
You forced your way in, and there was a deep reason.
You had to buy a ticket for Goldberg for him to be there.
That's true.
Right.
Even in the pay-per-views. On the March 7th edition of Monday Night Raw, Shawn Michaels dubs himself Mr. WrestleMania for the first time and says they're going to find out who the greatest performer of all time is at WrestleMania. Kurt Angle's response is incredible. He has hated Shawn Michaels since 1996, when he won a wrestling gold medal for the USA in the 1996 Olympics. But all anyone is talking about is Shawn Michaels winning the WWF Championship from Bret Hart. People considered Shawn Michaels to be the best of their generation. But if Kurt Angle were to have gone pro in 1996, Angle would have shattered every record Michaels currently holds. So, Angle sets out to prove that he could accomplish everything that Shawn Michaels accomplished in the next 4 weeks leading up to WrestleMania. Amazing. So, March 10th, SmackDown, Kurt suspends his gold medals high above the ring.
This is brilliant. It's brilliant.
It's so good. And has the ladder match. That was a defining moment in Shawn Michaels' career. How about immediately challenges Marty Jannetty to a one-on-one match. So on Raw, Marty Jannetty shows up, and him and Michaels reunite as the Rockers one night only.
Yeah, I remember this.
Marty actually got offered a contract because he looked so great and the match was so awesome.
He did a great job. Yeah, he absolutely did. The tag team match against La Resistance. 3 days later on SmackDown, Angle defeats Marty Jannetty.
Actually, one day later, because SmackDown was still taped. But
yeah.
You're not supposed to know that.
That's true. That was a Tuesday night SmackDown, even though it aired on Thursday.
That's why I love every day SmackDown. There's like one fan holding a sign that says, "It's actually Tuesday."
That's right.
And I'm like, stop it. You're exposing the business. But I love that sign.
It's just good stuff. Jannetty taps out to the ankle lock. I'm sure Angle holds it a little longer.
Oh, he does. He won't look. That's one of the moments where you have like nine officials trying to pull him off, and he still won't break it. And he's screaming. He's got the veins popping out.
All part of it.
Sweat dripping down his face.
March 24th SmackDown, Kurt Angle has one of the greatest performances of his entire career. Fight me.
I love this. He literally comes out. He says, I got a little blast from the from Shawn Michaels' past plan. He comes out wearing the HBK shirt. With like the
oh no.
Sides
no,
cut
no, no,
off.
No, it's not just the shirt. It's he's literally, he's got Shawn's gear.
Yeah.
He's got the actual gear.
He's got the shirt. He doesn't have the cowboy hat. This is pre-cowboy hat. He comes out and he said, I would introduce you all to Sensational Sherry. And then Sherry comes out. I don't know if you know this, but originally in the song title, Sherry actually sings. So when you hear somebody singing along, that's Sensational Sherry. And then he sings the theme song.
Give it to us, Paul.
Sean! I think I'm cute. I know I'm sexy. I got the looks that drives the... I got the moves that make him all tap out. The ankle lock. The ankle slam. Margie Jannetty still can't walk. I'm just a sexy Kurt. Sexy Kurt! I make your ankle hurt! Ankle hurt! I'm just a sexy Kurt! Shawn Michaels comes. No, he doesn't. Sherry gets put in the ankle lock because Kurt's a son of a bitch and
so,
I hate him.
Well, no. So, what I love about this is they show a montage of Shawn Michaels' like greatest moments, and Sherry Martel starts tearing up.
She's just getting
emotional. She's just like remembering those times. And Kurt is infuriated by this. So he puts her in the ankle lock.
Because he's a son of a bitch.
So at this point, we've just got a few days to go until WrestleMania. And Josh Matthews asks if his strategy to try and get under... Oh, I'm sorry. You have a Josh Matthews?
Was his voice edited in this moment? No? Fuck.
Okay, so we're going to recreate this, and you're going to digitally lower my voice. Kurt Angle, I just want to ask you, is Shawn Michaels' strategy getting under your skin?
No, it's if Kurt Angle's strategy of getting under Shawn Michaels' skin
Shawn Michaels, I just
was
ask you,
failing.
Is Kurt Angle getting under your skin strategy?
Okay, how, just stop it.
No, we have to. We need to have a Josh Madsen.
This is funny because in post you can go back and make his voice really
Darth Vader.
Okay, so what was Cardinal's response to Josh Matthews?
He wasn't happy about it. he absolutely loses it. I don't recall Kurt Angle ever being this intense in his entire career. Mm. He vows to do to Sean exactly what he did to Darth Matthews.
I was like, who's that?
Kurt Angle, please don't put my ankle on. Oh, man.
And they show a highlight package at this point of Kurt Angle's accomplishments. And he has just about as illustrious career as Shawn Michaels does. Mm-hmm. This is a dream match of epic proportions.
Literally.
At WrestleMania 21.
The Staples Center in Los Angeles, California. We've got Brian Hebner with perhaps the worst haircut of all time.
It is pretty bad.
It's rough, but it's Brian Hebner, not yeah. Earl. It's Brian.
And not Dave.
I think Earl has already left by this point.
It's Brian Hebner. And on commentary, we have JR and King extending their streaks as the most commentators on our matches.
And
so
no
far.
One was surprised.
Right. But, you know, at WrestleMania 21, we get the great, you know, now showing, now playing.
Oh, so good.
I love that.
On the side
so
of the,
good.
Of the
if, they don't do, if they don't do that next year, I'm canceling Peacock.
Yeah, it's going back to Hollywood next year.
If they don't do that, if they don't do a similar thing, I'm canceling.
Have they not been back to Hollywood since?
No,
they have not. We've had this conversation. Yeah, they haven't.
They've been back to Cali, but they didn't go back to LA.
That sort of blows my mind.
Yeah, a little surprising. LA for the first time. Well, they have SummerSlam. They had SummerSlam a ton.
That's right.
You know,
that's
SummerSlam
right.
SummerSlam was in the Staples Center from like 2008 until like 2012.
Yeah, it was there, a long time.
Yeah, I was there a lot. So, yeah, you know, ZZ Top is in the crowd.
Billy Gibbons.
The girl from CSI, as
oh,
we see.
Damn it.
In between the the promo package and
like
the entrances.
Yeah, Marg.
Hamburglar is what it is.
Hamburglar, that's
but
it.
I don't yeah. I don't think that's actually
it's definitely it.
I think it's pronounced Hamburglar.
Okay, look at this computer that I have sitting right next to me. What is it?
It's pronounced
Marg.
It's like it's actually Hamburglar.
No, I'm serious. No, go back.
It's pronounced differently.
No, go back. You actually had it.
I had it. Oh, my God.
No, I'm serious. When you started right there.
Yeah, Marjorie Elaine Harvey.
No,
that's Steve Harvey's wife.
No, the first one. There's an E in her name, by the way.
This is amazing. Just do CSI. Marg.
CSI.
Type
this is
M-A-R-G.
All getting cut out of the episode.
Right there.
Marg Helgenberger.
Which is exactly what I said.
You said Hamburglar.
No, I said Hunglenberger.
Landon, I need you to...
What now?
You know how they do like the Reese with her spoon, Reese without her spoon? I need you to do a Marge Helgenberger.
Marge Helgenberger. Marge Hamburglar.
And then put like the I'm asking this.
I'll get to work.
All right.
Oh, no.
So getting to the
this
match.
One's off the rails, ladies and gentlemen.
WrestleMania 21.
We're not even close to being off the rails.
Okay.
Just wait and see just how far we're going to go. I'm out of here.
If you got that reference, that's a big thumbs up.
Is this the greatest Shawn Michaels ring gear ever?
Yes.
I think it could. We've lost Spencer Hunt, ladies and gentlemen. He's just gone. We'll get him back later.
You don't like the brown pants from Survivor Series?
Are you kidding me?
Do you mean UPS Shawn Michaels? I love you. My favorite UPS with a bob cut is my favorite Shawn Michaels. That's the worst look he's ever had in his entire career.
Oh, God.
That's worse than, like, accidentally pulling off Kane's mask at Crown Jewel. That's even worse. UPS with a bob cut is the worst.
This is great gear, yeah.
I love the SummerSlam 2002 blue jeans.
Yeah.
I really love that.
It makes
Do you
sense,
know why
fight.
He shifted over to this type of gear?
I think we talked about this. He's wearing knee braces.
He's wearing
now,
heavy
right?
knee braces, but if he wears the baggier pants, he can actually move a lot easier with the braces
yeah,
on.
Yeah, makes sense.
Because he didn't want to put the braces over his tights, and it'd be obvious that, oh, man, he's got to wear these heavy-duty knee braces like Stone Cold, but that's not his gimmick. So it's like, well, if I put them underneath baggy pants, Can't see him.
And honestly, Kurt Angle. Kurt Angle has career-defining gear here. It's next level. It's so good. It's presidential.
Yeah, it is. It absolutely. It looks like it's got that seal that he used to use.
Yeah.
And it makes sense. You know, Olympic gold medalist, the whole thing. So, this match, 27 minutes and 28 seconds, which, as you know, we talked about on our season 4 finale by the numbers, that the average match on our list is somewhere around that 25-minute mark.
The perfect length for a wrestling match.
It's in the pocket.
Yeah.
It is. Time-tested. Look at our list. It's proven. Scientific. You can't argue with the numbers. They don't lie.
And this has a really just interesting start. The first 5 minutes of this match are gold.
Yep.
I think they're fascinating.
Oh, my God.
What I love is that Kurt was so focused on out Shawn Michaels-ing Shawn Michaels that he is not prepared for a ground game, and Shawn knows that. That's why when the match starts, he slaps him and immediately gets that side headlock takedown, and he will not break that headlock. And they roll around the ring. He tries so hard. He keeps going back to the side headlock because he knows it's working. Kurt cannot grapple me if I have him on the ground in a headlock.
And it's surprising. It's genius. Both men come in focused. Both men come in confident. I mean, the stare-off between the two, and Shawn just slaps Angle. Just
slaps
immediately.
The shit out of him.
What is the most unexpected thing that Shawn Michaels can bring to the table? That's what he brings to the table. Could you imagine him thinking, oh yeah, I'm going to out-wrestle Kurt Angle?
But that's not what Kurt's expecting, because Kurt is expecting the high-flying, the smash-mouth style, the springboard moves, and we don't get that in the first 5 or 6 minutes. It is literally a ground game, and Kurt is getting frustrated because it's not what he prepared for, and he has no answer to it.
Well, and Shawn Michaels has that hold on like a pit bull. Like, he gets back suplexed and doesn't break the hold.
Won't break the hold, no.
It's good stuff.
What's fascinating here is Kurt Angle has talked about this match in interviews and things since, obviously, and so has Shawn Michaels. But one of the things that I noticed when I was looking at, you know, and listening to interviews and trying to do my research on the match, Kurt Angle was talking to ESPN, and he said, Shawn and I knew we were going to do this match, even though we had never met in the ring prior. We never had a match. We never locked up. We didn't even go over anything physically before the match.
Good.
We might have talked a few things out, but you have the whole week before WrestleMania to get prepared for the match, and while a lot of wrestlers are just going over mat stuff, techniques, and moves, Shawn and I just sat down and got to know each other. I'm still amazed that two athletes were able to have that type of chemistry without ever having wrestled prior to that night.
Wow.
Fascinating.
You know, people can have their opinions about Shawn or their opinions about Kurt, but you cannot deny the talent of either of them. To go out there and do this without rehearsing anything?
It's incredible.
And this match is overrated, right?
Right.
No, you're overrated.
We've got some disagreement.
I can't wait to hear that part of it. But, yeah, so the expectations were high going into this match, and you get what you don't expect. You get what you don't expect, which is Shawn Michaels, the ground game. And you're absolutely right. He's got the headlock on, and he won't let go.
No, you can always leave Shawn to throw a curveball when a crowd is expecting something. We talked about this at SummerSlam 02. He knew what the crowd's anticipation expectations were, and he intentionally went against it. I mean, this does descend into a Shawn Michaels match, but it takes about 10 minutes to get there.
Mm-hmm.
The first 10 minutes is, if you're expecting this, we're going to give you this.
There's layers to it.
And then what does it say when Shawn Michaels is the one that's got Kurt Angle grounded, and so it forces Kurt Angle, because he's pissed off, he's frustrated, he's the one that starts throwing strikes.
Yeah.
So I want to talk about something very specifically. So Kurt eventually does get break out of this, but he goes for an Angle slam, and Shawn applies the short arm scissors after reversing the Angle slam into a hip toss.
Love it.
And then JR even says, the short arm scissors is a time-tested maneuver, but you don't see it very often. And I told you this off mic. I have the Shawn Michaels My Journey DVD that came out in 2010. In that is a match between Shawn Michaels and the British Bulldog from 1996. They do this exact sequence, hip toss into the short arm scissors, where Kurt rolls over and then picks up onto his shoulders. The British Bulldog does this exact same sequence. Admittedly, it's a little less effort to get Shawn up on his shoulders, but that's Bulldog was a much larger man than Kurt Angle is. But it looked the same way. He gets him up and goes for that modified electric chair drop. The only difference is Bulldog trip just slams him down, where in this one, when he drops, Kurt I'm sorry, Sean maintains that. He goes right back into that headlock.
Right.
Maintains the lock. Will not break it. It's not until Kurt gets out of the hold and immediately locks in an ankle lock before he finally breaks that hold.
Right, but that's what happens is Angle has to force Michaels into the corner. Brian Hebner's trying to pull him apart. He's having a real tough time doing it, but he's finally able to pull Sean away from Kurt, and it's when that happens that Sean's back is then forced to be to Kurt, and he just big, strong forearm to the back, puts that ankle lock on, and then things change.
Yes, but Sean is able to get out of it relatively quickly before we had the big close on over the top rope. Both men spill out. I love that. Every single time I see it, I'm like, yes, more of that, please. We don't
it's
see that
beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh!
They brawl on the outside for a little bit. Kurt Angle is down. Shawn Michaels pulls off the lid of the commentary table, so to speak. He takes off the cover and looks like he's trying to do something there. But then Angle picks up Shawn Michaels and does something that I'd never seen before, which is this sort of angle slam
into the ring post.
Loved it. It was such a brutal moment. And there were, you know, Paul and I were talking about this before. Some camera angles of it were better than others. But
yes.
The right camera angle looked like he absolutely
slammed the lower back directly
spine.
Into it. And I love what they do is they actually switch to the other camera angle right after the impact. So you see him get rammed into it, and then it cuts over to him basically being spun around and landing onto his side. Like, oh, he's going to break his back.
So
then they cut to a replay where they show that second angle the entire way. It kind of kills the spot. But every other time they show a replay, they do the original angle where it looks like Angle. His back ran right into it.
So Angle's talked about this spot specifically. And he said, well, he didn't hit his hamstring, talking about Sean on the post. He hit his ass.
Yeah.
I didn't have him lined up properly, and I went backwards. And Sean, it was a little lower on his body, but it did the job. It made sense. There was nothing wrong with the move, whether I hit his lower back or his ass. I think the fans got the idea of what I was trying to do.
Oh, yeah.
But it's a vicious move, and because I didn't hit it right, I never used it again.
Mm.
But it was great. Actually, Sean came up with the idea, and we used it because Sean came up with it, and I thought it was awesome. I was like, you know, I can use this as a heat spot anytime I want to stop a wrestler. But
yeah.
When I didn't hit the move right, I decided not to use it anymore. So that was the first and last time I used it.
Yeah, because you don't want to accidentally do it wrong and hurt somebody or completely miss, and it just kills the spot.
And see, I get the criticism, and this actually has something to do with the hamstring selling and all that has to do with why people feel the match is overrated. But for me, I loved the spot. I could see it again and again. And to me, it makes things like that suplex when they get back in the ring immediately after this make that – it just feels like it made that much more of an impact to me because I just saw what happened prior to it.
So sure, if he slams the hamstring or his ass into the post and then he immediately starts doing suplexes where, guess what? You're landing on your ass and your lower back.
It hurts.
That's where all the impact is going.
And then locks in the leg scissors across the midsection.
Right. And when he's got that leg scissors in, he's pulling Sean's hair. He's grinding his forearm across the face. And so he's now targeted a body part. And he's being, I think the phrase AR uses is it's a mean streak that Kurt Angle's showing. I mean, to even attempt to do what he did on the ring post is a vicious move.
And then what's the very first thing that happens? Sean gets turned inside out on the ring post.
Yep.
And then he turns around immediately, the arm trap belly to belly. Like the one where you
back
literally.
To back.
No, where he has one arm, but he literally grabs one arm and puts it behind
so
him.
So you can't catch yourself, you fall. You just, it hurts.
You don't see that one very often, but Kurt did it a lot, and that's one of my favorite suplexes.
And later, Michaels goes up to the top and goes for that elbow and lands on his back.
Lands on his back.
Again.
Mm-hmm.
Good stuff.
When Shawn Michaels misses this elbow, that's when the first time in this match, we're about 13 and a half minutes in, the straps come down. The straps come down, which if you know me, you know it's the beginning of the end.
And I
popped hard for it. There's nothing signals that the time is near, like
straps
coming down. Right?
So, yeah, straps come down. Kurt signals for the ankle slam, but it gets reversed into an arm drag.
Mm-hmm.
And when he tries to come back to it, Sean does a big back body drop over the top rope to the outside.
Yeah, Angle gets way up in the air.
Oh, yeah. And then Sean, not to be outdone by Kurt, does a springboard crossbody over the top to the outside. Where they even pointed out on commentary, Sean's knee hits Kurt right in the mouth.
Yeah, well, right off the top turnbuckle.
And Shawn Michaels' head hits the ground. Like, it's nasty.
And so then there's this really neat moment where, you know, it's a big T spot, and it's really well done. Sean gets on the apron. Kurt Angle follows him right after.
It goes to the German suplex.
And it looks like he's going to try to German Sean off of the apron through the announce table is what it looks like, which would be just wildly dangerous.
Oh, that would absolutely kill him because he landed on the top of his head.
And we've seen this spot a few times where they tease it happens and then something else happens. Equally crazy, but never the German. My question to everyone watching this and listening – Have they ever followed through with a German suplex from the apron to the outside?
I don't think so.
I hope not.
I genuinely hope not. But if they have, please send it to me.
The closest thing I can think of is Ibushi German suplexing Nakamura over the top or back into the ring.
Yeah.
Not the other way around. Like, I'm going to German suplex you out of the ring because, you know, landing on top of your head won't kill you.
Right.
So, you know, we talk about something equally crazy happening. So what happens here is Michaels hits a low blow. He hits a low blow because he's sort of got Hebner distracted.
Booze.
And there's booze, but he's one of those guys that can get away with that.
Yeah, so that's my question is, what do we make of Shawn Michaels going back to that level, right?
That's what he has to beat Kurt Angle.
Is this the Shawn Michaels of old?
Yes.
That Kurt Angle was so jealous of back in 1996?
Yes, it absolutely is. This is the Shawn Michaels that would do whatever he had to do to win. People are like, oh, he wrestles heel. In this match, yeah, he does a little bit, and that's kind of the beginning of it. And I pointed this out to you, Landon. We were watching it. Sean starts to wrestle very heel because he's actually getting a lot of boost from the crowd. He's getting the "you screwed Brett" chance during the opening part of this match.
What?
Yeah, and stuff like this with the low blow where he gets booed.
Well, we've seen other WrestleMania matches where, you know, the heel face structure
had to shift because of the crowd reaction.
Interesting.
I don't
necessarily believe
this
that's
is
what
not
happened
a, this
here.
Isn't a, I would not call this a double turn. It's just they obviously shifted their strategy based on the crowd reaction. I'm not saying that they did a double turn because they don't, because Kurt is by far the most vile, evil son of a bitch in this match, and Sean's the good guy. But there are moments in the match
where
Sean is wrestling very much like a 97 heel Shawn Michaels.
It is.
And Kurt is being the fiery babyface.
But I wouldn't say that it's obvious. I think if it's true, it's a subtlety.
But I do
think there's a little bit of that there, and it's definitely worth noting.
Yeah.
For me, I don't see it. I mean, the low blow, sure. What else does he do that's heel?
He rakes the eyes whenever Kurt is screaming in his face later.
But to me, that doesn't – I mean
– that's just Shawn Michaels being Shawn Michaels.
Shawn being Shawn Michaels, but also, like – look at how vicious Kurt Angle's being. I don't think it's a Shawn Michaels, I have to play heel. It's a Shawn Michaels, I have to go to a different place to be able to get to this guy's level to be able to meet him.
Like I said, I'm not calling this a double turn at all. I'm just saying that Shawn clearly shifts a few times.
Well, and he had that sort of – he knows what that's like.
Right.
He's been there before.
Yeah.
And so it's just something that he's – sort of shut out for a while. We haven't seen him go to places like that before, and Kurt Angle is dragging that out of him at WrestleMania.
Well, we definitely see him go there a few months' time at SummerSlam.
Right. It's interesting because when Michaels hits the low blow, right, then he does the springboard crossbody while Angle's on the commentary table. Table doesn't break, right?
Which is arguably worse if it had broken.
Right. Because then there's nowhere for the pressure to go, right?
It's and so they both bounce and roll off the table.
Mm-hmm. And then so King sort of changes his commentary because Angle's bleeding from the mouth.
He shifts hard.
And so the question becomes, you know, you think that the knee hitting him in the face earlier probably caused some blood.
I think he probably like just cut his lip and he was bleeding.
But the internal bleeding aspect.
Yeah, but King being able to say maybe it's internal bleeding, you know, like even if it really wasn't, made for a really interesting, you know, sort of perspective and something to keep in mind as things move along in the match.
And now you have to look at this as Kurt is now a wounded animal who is just – and now that I'm saying this out loud as I'm thinking it, it really kind of explains the way he wrestles the rest of the match because he throws technique out the window and he's like, I have to put the son of a bitch away right now.
Mm-hmm. So they get back in the ring. Sean hits that patented flying forearm.
Beautiful.
He does hit the elbow drop this time. We're closing in on the 20-minute mark or so. And then he goes for that sweet chin music. He tunes up the band. But
Kurt catches that leg and rolls right into an ankle lock.
Mm-hmm.
There's just something special about professional wrestling, And people have these legendary moves. And whenever two guys are able to create magic like this, when Shawn Michaels hasn't hit his legendary over-the-top move yet, but Kurt Angle is able to counter it into his own.
Oh, yeah.
It's just wrestling magic.
And one thing I really love, and this is something that I've only really ever seen Shawn do, is the desperation trying to break out of the ankle lock, where he will just twist his body anywhere. There's one thing where he like flips over and Kurt steps, but it looks like Shawn's leg bends the wrong way. And I know that's not what happens,
but it looks nasty.
It looks nasty, but really it's just Kurt stepping over and Shawn twisting his body. That's all that's happening. But the way the camera angle looks, it looks like that leg just bends the way it's not supposed to bend. And he's just making it worse by struggling. And he finally, when he finally gets that rope break, like, oh dear Lord. And then Kurt is like, fuck you, angle slam. But that gets reversed into a sunset flip.
Which I love.
Mm-hmm. Kurt kicks out, and then they go into a roll-up. And then Kurt rolls out of the roll-up into the ankle lock.
Back and forth, back and forth. This is exactly the match that you wanted. This is exactly the match you would expect these two to have.
So Shawn goes for a sunset flip. Kurt rolls down into the ankle lock. Shawn is able to roll through the bottom of Kurt's legs and get a schoolboy pin. Kurt kicks out. And then finally hits the angle slam.
Right, because Shawn goes for that Sweet Chin Music again.
Yep.
And so he hits the angle slam and Michaels kicks out. But what I think is so great about this is that, and because we don't see this as much necessarily now, is tease for a finisher, finally hits it. A lot of times now we see, oh, he hit it, kick out.
Yeah.
He hits it again, you know. And so this time it was, he went for the angle slam two or three times before he hit it. Now Shawn's tried for the Sweet Chin Music twice, still hasn't hit it.
No.
And so it's a big moment when Angle finally hits that angle slam that he's been trying to hit multiple times throughout the match.
He did get like the quick off the top rope, or he did get the one to the corner, but he didn't go for a pin right after though. The one outside the ring and the second one in the ring, that wasn't like a clean angle slam. He just basically just pulled Shawn off the top rope.
Yeah.
And so you buy it when Shawn kicks out.
We haven't gotten to the angle slam off the top rope yet. We're almost there.
Oh my God, you're right.
We're almost there. But so the only thing we've had at this point is the angle slam into the ring post, right?
Yeah, I'm sorry. You're absolutely correct.
No, it's totally fine. So, but it proves the point, right? That this is the first time that he's hit the standard angle slam and it looks great. But Michaels kicks out. So what do you do if you're Kurt Angle? You go back to the drawing board. You have to, you know what? Listen, it's not working for some reason. I can't beat this dude. How do I make things tougher and more challenging? I put the straps up.
And then he puts them up and he fixes them, make sure they're perfect. And then brings them right back down, baby.
And I'm going, oh God. Oh God, Shawn. This is it. This is it. He gets up to the top rope and tries for a Kurt Angle moonsault, which, as you and I know, never connects.
He misses.
It's the head salt.
No.
The head connects.
No, it doesn't.
It's depending on the angle, it looks like it does.
It doesn't. When they cut from the angle, that's like pretty much looking straight on. He does not connect. It looks like it.
It connects.
No, it doesn't. Head does not connect.
It's a beautiful moonsault. You know, like it's great, but Michael's just
he rolls out of the way.
He had to roll a long way.
Then Shawn climbs up, and he's going for, I'm assuming, the flying elbow drop.
Yeah.
Kurt springs up there, jumps up to the top rope, which they added into the SmackDown vs. Raw games this year.
Because
Kurt would do this, and gets that big avalanche angle slam.
See, that's how you know you've made it in pro wrestling, when a move that you created ends up in a wrestling game.
Yeah.
Yeah, they literally add this, like, in the future games, if your, like, speed is at a certain point, you get access to, like, this specific kind of springboard.
Ah, love that.
Where you just run to the ropes and you just tap, like, the grapple button and you'll do, like, a big move like that. Not
wrestling games
slam.
Is an art form.
Yeah.
It is. So, Shawn kicks out of the pin attempt after this avalanche angle slam. And this is where
this is King, the best moment in the entire match.
King says he is Mr. WrestleMania. I am a believer, you know. And it's just like this incredible. Like he's not going to beat Shawn. There's no way. Like how can he? If that didn't do it,
exactly.
What's going to do it?
And this is, in my opinion, the best moment in the entire match. When Kurt, blood coming out of the mouth, he's sweating profusely. Veins are popping out of every single muscle on his body. He picks up Sean. Tap out, you son of a bitch! Tap out! Your days are done, Sean! You're done! Tap out!
And he's...
Sean wrenches the eyes, shoves him off, and... Sweet it's, chin music,
it's
baby.
Great. You have Kurt Angle berating Shawn Michaels in the ring. It's essentially trying to wear him down mentally. He spent all this time beating him down physically. So this is him just trying to figure out another way to maybe psychologically beat Shawn Michaels here. And boom. Separation created. Sweet chin music. And surely that's it.
And I got to say, these kinds where it's like a, oh God, he hit it, is the best version.
Best.
I actually hate the tuning up the band. I hate going, I'm about to hit my big move, guys. I love it when it gets countered, but I actually hate that in wrestling. I love when it's, oh, shit, he got it. That's just why the RKO is such a great move.
One of the best Sweet Chin musics, I think, in history was this one. It just was picture perfect.
Yeah.
And it was that sort of quick as a hiccup.
Like, how did he do it that quickly in such a short, like, amount of space?
It was spitfire. He was able to get an angle up to the chin. It was unbelievable. And Kurt kicks out at 2.99999.
To be fair, Sean doesn't cover immediately. Sean collapses.
That's right.
And has to crawl over.
Nobody does a better crawl over to a cover
gets
than
the hand.
Shawn Michaels.
Barely gets that hand over him. So I was not shocked at all when Kurt kicked out.
Right.
But you know who was? The crowd.
The crowd was. And listen, and that was a SmackDown referee. Let's be noted. It was a SmackDown referee.
That's true.
Brian. But, and you know, it was sort of a, if you're a big Shawn Michaels fan, you're like, hey, you know what? It is a SmackDown referee. That looked like it might have been three. You know,
it really did look like it could have been.
It did look like it could have been. And so it was an interesting, just a little bit of an interesting twist into things.
But the blood is in the water.
I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry to cut you off. It was so important that I needed to say this. Sometimes things happen in wrestling by mistake, or just they happen to happen. It's not even a mistake. They just happen to happen, and it creates something special. When Shawn Michaels hits that Sweet Chin music on Kurt Angle, Kurt Angle's flat on his back. They zoom in on his face, and there's just blood coming out the side of his mouth, just a little bit.
I will never forget that visual.
And it's an incredible image, and it's just coming from the blood from earlier or whatever. But what a great, great picture.
He just got kicked in the mouth, and there it is.
There's just a little bit of blood.
But if you couldn't hear the commentators talking about the bleeding from the mouth and didn't see it, but then you look up at the video screen and see the blood coming out of his mouth with that Sweet Chin music.
Really cool.
Yeah, that's a very effective visual.
Really, really
cool. But this is the point where Kurt smells blood in the water. He's got nothing left. So as Sean is desperately trying to get to his feet, even has to use Brian Hebner as for leverage to stand up, what does he do? He puts his left foot right in the crease of Kurt's arm.
Fatal mistake.
And Kurt grabs an ankle lock.
Fourth time in the match.
It's like, Paul, you nailed it. It was like he stepped in the bear trap.
Mm-hmm. He was trying to stand up.
Just trying to stand up.
Snatches that leg, and he will not let go. Sean does everything he can think of. He pulls on Brian Hebner's pants because he's just trying to get out of the middle of the ring.
And as viciously as Shawn Michaels was trying to hold on to the headlock in the beginning of the match, at the end of the match now, Kurt Angle is the one that won't let go of this mission.
And once Kurt realizes he didn't have the strength to crawl away, he gets the grapevine and falls back and cinches the hold in even deeper.
And it's the most valiant effort to try and escape a hold I've ever seen in pro wrestling that ends in failure.
Meanwhile, JR is yelling, Michael's ankle could snap
at any moment. Know?
It's incredible.
And say what you want to about Shawn Michaels, but he is the master of this right here, of making you think, he just might get it, he just might get it, he just might get it.
And well, the hope of all the Shawn Michaels fans around the world that he would escape. It was just an incredible, incredible moment in the sport of pro wrestling, and I will never forget it.
And there's that moment where you think he's so close, he's going to get the ropes, and he can't do it anymore. You literally see like the life drain out of him, and he taps out. And fuck me, Kurt, let's go with that hold. He breaks it. This is an area where Kurt does not break a hold, and you tap out. He holds it for another 5 minutes. But I imagine he's probably thinking, I did it. I beat him. I don't need this anymore. I'm out of here. Fuck you, I'm going to the back with my music is playing because now I'm Mr. WrestleMania.
Shawn Michaels gets a standing O after the match.
As noted on Last Man Standing, even one from Taz and Michael Cole.
Yeah. Yeah. You're absolutely right. I forgot about that, but you're absolutely right. On the Kurt Angle show, Kurt Angle talked about the end of this match and the finish. And he said, Vince left it up to us. Yeah, I was surprised. I didn't know that he did. What happened was when I met with Shawn 4 days before WrestleMania, we went to the place where they structure the matches, you know, the ring at the hotel. They had like a party room where they had set the ring up. Shawn came to me and said, listen, we don't have a finish for WrestleMania, but I think you should go over by tap out. And this is why. I think you're going to do a program with Batista, and we need to make you look really strong. That program with Batista didn't happen. But Michaels was the one that came up with the, I'm going to put you over and I'm going to tap out. Isn't that fascinating?
What a man.
Isn't that completely fascinating?
Which is so funny when you hear about the person that Shawn was in the 90s and then you hear about the guy he was when he came back. You're like, wait a minute. That guy was like, I'm going to put you over.
Because I believe that decision came from a love of the sport of pro wrestling. He understood what was needed for the stories that were being told.
He knew the best thing for business was going to be. He's like, if I make Kurt look like a fucking monster, that's going to make his next feud be even better.
And he didn't need to win.
No, he didn't.
And he knew that.
We're at the point of Shawn Michaels' career where he loses more often than he wins at WrestleMania.
But he's still Shawn Michaels.
Yeah. We think about these, you know, these matches 2004 and on where he, you know, most of the ones that we talk about, the only like big marquee match that we've talked about past this time that he wins is against Ric Flair at WrestleMania 24. WrestleMania 20, he loses. 21, he loses. 22, he beats McMahon.
Yeah, but it's Vince in a street fight.
Right. 23, he loses. Well, 25 and 26, he loses.
How about in the immediate future following WrestleMania 21, he enters into a feud with Hulk Hogan. He didn't need that win at WrestleMania to have that story.
Right. And I just love as sort of like there's something I love about this. I remember watching this at the time in 2005, you know, I'm 12 years old and this was the biggest feud to me. Kurt Angle, Shawn Michaels, huge deal. They have a rematch at Vengeance and Shawn Michaels wins and it's tied at one. And then, so they're going to settle it at Raw Homecoming when it returns to the USA Network. It's a 3-hour show. The first time Raw Homecoming, they're going to have a 30-minute Iron Man match. The rubber match, because they're tied at one apiece. In that rubber match in October, the 30-minute time limit meets. Both guys have two falls. They're tied. And Shawn grabs the mic and says, oh, no, sudden death. We're going to sudden death. We have to see who the better man is. And Kurt Angle walks out and doesn't do it. And so there's something.
Oh, my God.
I just love that we never really find out who's the better of the two because they finished tied by the end of it all.
I actually hate how much I love that.
Yeah, I know. I remember being furious as a like I was so mad.
It's incredible.
But now I'm thinking, what an incredible story.
The best way they could have ended it.
Yeah.
It's like, because it leaves you, the fan, wanting more, meaning you're going to tune in next week to see if maybe they're going to have it again.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the hook.
I wonder if we go into favorite moments, if we're all going to say the same thing.
Oh, I already said it. Like, Kurt picking up the seemingly lifeless body of Shawn, screaming, your days are done, tap out. And you even hear, if you put the captions on, it reads because he's right in the microphone.
Tap out,
the camera,
tap out.
Like, your days are done, tap out, Shawn, tap out. And he's like, he's exhausted, like, in this.
Yeah.
Kind of similar to what happens at WrestleMania 28.
Yeah, the switch in music is incredible.
End it or I will.
Yeah, I think there are several moments you could say, but I mean, I have to.
How
go
can you
with
not?
This.
I think the game. Only thing I might put over that is that effort from Shawn at the end of the match,
trying
to find any possible means of escape, and Kurt Angle having a counter all along the way, because Shawn rolls through, so does Kurt. And never breaks it up. And Paul made an excellent point. It's the same thing that Shawn was doing in the beginning. It's just so good.
Yep.
Man, I don't want to do the next part at all.
So, and I'm going to need you to scroll all the way up, please.
Yeah, okay. So, guys, here we are. Season 5, Episode 1, if you can believe it. So, for the 81st time, That's dumb. It's time for us to rank this match on our list of the greatest wrestling matches of all time.
So because this is getting immensely difficult.
Not for me.
I think what we should do.
Oh, I did this part mentally
is
last
start
night.
At I'm the prepared. Bottom.
No. You can
and
go all
work
way up.
Our way up.
Okay, nope, so episode, match number 80, Best Friends versus Santana and Ortiz. Is this better than that parking lot fight?
Yes.
Okay, so what I'm, what I was
episode
thinking,
79.
What I was, okay, stay with me here. I think, you know, obviously we're going to say, okay, it makes the list, period.
Yeah.
So obviously
no
it's
shit.
Better than that.
Yeah.
But if we jump up to the 70s, right, we've covered 80. So now the gatekeeper of the top 60s, or the top 70 matches, is at 70, CM Punk versus The Undertaker. It's another WrestleMania classic match. It doesn't hold a candle to this one at all,
no.
In my opinion.
I love you, CM Punk. I love you, Taker, but sorry.
So going back up,
you're really
the,
doing this,
the
aren't you?
Safeguard of the top 60, Mike Awesome versus Masato Tanaka from Heat Wave 1998. One of the first matches we covered back in season one. Still holding strong in the top 60. You know, doesn't quite live up to
no.
What this WrestleMania
classic.
It will
classic. Not be in the top 60 after this one.
Right. But now it's getting difficult. We've reached
no,
the top
not.
50. Paul.
It's getting easier, actually.
I think it's difficult because
I don't.
Cactus Jack versus Triple H from Royal Rumble 2000.
Great match.
That's a brawl. This
one of the most legendary matches of all time. This is yeah. Why we're talking about now in the top 50 greatest matches of all time. Paul's dead set. Spencer?
Yeah, no. I
oh,
think
I'm dead set on a number.
We are certainly...
what you're doing right now...
You talked so much about how you were not dead set on a number, but on
what
a
you
range.
Guys are doing right now is what I did last night for 2.5 hours.
Yeah, I understand.
Well, yeah, but
I stared at this list, and I even watched some of these matches back to compare it.
For the sake of our listeners, it's important to go through this conversation, I think.
Oh, no, I agree. I'm just...
Cactus Jack, Triple H, another a good story, a very good story, a very good match. I think it leaves... comparatively speaking,
the wrong man won that match.
Leaves some things to be desired.
I
so
agree.
I'm going over
and
50.
Those things were met at No Way Out.
Yeah, they. Yeah, you're absolutely right.
That's what. It's funny how they booked in that story so well a month later and then ruined
good
it
point.
At WrestleMania.
I agree. As great as that match is, I think this one is a little bit more legendary and talked about. So if we go up to the top 40, then
top half,
the top half of the list now. Ric Flair versus Shawn Michaels. Another Shawn Michaels WrestleMania moment. We talked about it just a few minutes ago. Ugh.
This is the better match.
So, that match is Old Yeller. This match is Cujo.
It's, I couldn't have said it any better myself.
Yep.
Okay,
Kurt is
so,
a rabid dog
so
in this match.
Are we hopping up to the 30s then?
Yes, we are.
Are we hopping up to the top 30, which is the Four Pillars tag match?
Yep. We're not high enough yet.
The Four Pillars tag match, the template
for
tag team wrestling.
But we're not talking about tag wrestling. We're talking about top-level spectacle showcase moment. And I'm sorry, they just don't do it for me.
We've talked about, and we talked about this on our season four finale, that a majority of our matches, you know, three-quarters just about of our matches at this point are singles matches. And there's a reason for that. Not to take anything, please,
oh, no,
Internet,
no.
I swear to you, this is not to take anything, friends, this is not to take anything away from the Four Pillars. I love them deeply. They deserve to be recognized as a list of the greatest of all time.
That's at Spencer Hunt
no.
On Twitter.
That will never spell my name right. So...
You realize
not
just,
to take anything
gonna,
away from them.
He's just going to put it up in the video.
But
now, right?
This is a better match.
There's some stories you just can't tell with
I
tag
guess
teams.
We're moving up to the top 25.
There's some stories you just can't tell with a tag team. You can only tell with two people.
Similarly, at 25.
Number 25.
Is
20,
AJW
please.
Wrestling Kingdom tag team match. I think, you know, this one's sort of
same rules
principle.
Apply. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Same principle. Five power bombs.
Top 20. So the gatekeeper currently of our top 20 of the greatest matches of all time is Tiger Mask versus Dynamite Kid from New Japan in 1982.
Damn good match.
Incredible match.
But it's lacking two things. Story. The other one is Kurt Angle.
So if Kurt Angle is – so what I gathered from that is if Kurt Angle is in a match, it's higher than our top 20. That's kind of what I gathered from that. It's lacking two things.
Tiger Mask and Dynamite Kid is a fantastic
match. I want that on a
match.
T-shirt.
No, Tiger Mask and Dynamite Kid is a fantastic match.
It is.
Fantastic.
It is.
But if you go back and rewatch it, it's clear that it was thrown together for an interpromotional deal. There's not a lot of story going into it. It's just – watch these two amazing high flyers do amazing high flying matches.
So I think Tiger Mask and Dynamite Kid sort of set the groundwork for what could be accepted as incredible wrestling. If even though you're not 257 pounds, you know,
you don't have to
that's
be 6 foot 6
why this
and
match is
pounds.
So high. That's why this match is so important. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What did Shawn Michaels and Kurt Angle do at WrestleMania 21 that makes it more important than that?
Prove that you don't have to do 37,000 finishers to win a match.
Well, I think that...
Also just showed just how personal a feud could get without home invasions, some other... Ooh, I don't want to mention the other thing because it's kind of bad and we don't want to say it because it might get demonetized.
It was intense. It was intense. I agree.
It's a matchup. Here's the thing. When two of the greats face off for the first time, the expectations are unreal. To meet those expectations and exceed them is special. And I do feel like they were in the middle of the card. They weren't the main event. They weren't fighting over a championship, but it mattered. And I think that there's something to be said about that. I think that there's something to be said
Absolutely.
About doing the most with what they had. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and we've talked about with Zach Gowen, you know, what did they set out to prove? And what was the goal of the match? And in terms of that, they did it, you know, maybe more so than some of the other matches on our list.
Absolutely.
So, I mean, I think two of the best to ever do it on the biggest stage, I mean, it checks all the boxes.
With
for
nothing
me.
On the line, but also everything on the line.
I agree, and I get that. I know that I think this is one of the greatest matches in the history of WWE. I think this is, to me, one of the greatest matches that I thought it was my favorite match before we started nitpicking and getting microscopic level into what makes a match great. And now we have a top 20 that is excellent.
And
I'm going to be 1,000% honest with you. I am getting hung up at 20.
I'm not. I'm getting hung up at number 6, Rock Austin. This is better. Fight me.
I think this match is in our top 20.
I think it's in our top 6.
But I don't know exactly between 1 and 20
I'll tell you,
where I'd
six.
Be comfortable. Because, look, I'm going to go up one more here. To number 19, John Cena versus Shawn Michaels on Raw. I might feel like that's a better match.
It's not.
There's so much that happens, what I might be able to give you is the story. Like, I might be able to say that Cena and Michaels had a better match on Raw. And that it went so long, and you know they had so much you know technical going into it, and I was so impressed with John Cena, I didn't expect it out of him. Whereas
no
we had
did.
These expectations going into this one, and they met and exceeded them, and they also had that story that was excellent, and it was on a stage like WrestleMania. So okay, maybe I can give that to you.
We talked about at the beginning of this episode, you mentioned there was a vocal minority, which the minority tends to be vocal, right? There's a vocal minority of people that think this is an overrated match.
Because they haven't watched it in 15 years since it happened.
So my question to you is, why? What point did you find that they discussed, like, this is why this match is overrated?
Well, the moment when he goes for the Angle Slam, he hits Sean's ass and not his lower back.
Well, no,
it takes
it's,
me out of the moment. Oh, the table doesn't break when it's the springboard crossbody. It takes me out of the moment.
It's not that.
There's not 52 fucking finishers with kickouts in a row at the end.
It could be that.
There's not a chair shot. The referee doesn't go into business for himself and win the title?
What I've found is that a lot of people were criticizing Shawn Michaels for...
Because they don't like him personally.
Not...
For not winning?
Holy shit, calm down. I will mute your mic.
Okay.
I'll
just grab yours.
A lot of people were criticizing Shawn Michaels for not continuing to sell his back after getting hit on the post. That was maybe what I saw more often than not. Other folks were saying it was very sort of, you know, WWE-style match in that there wasn't a whole lot going on. Like, there were a lot of slow moments.
I'll take that comment. I'll take that critique and go, what brand are you watching?
What brand?
Yeah.
Oh, what promotion
what
are
promotion
you watching?
What promotion are you watching? You're complaining about a WWE match on a WWE show?
I can't answer these questions. All I can say is, based on the matches that we have on this list, it's more difficult for me than I thought it would be to go higher than the top 15.
That's why I said 6.
So here's here's where I'm at. We have talked about now 81 of the greatest wrestling matches of all time. And you're absolutely right. We have to nitpick when we get down to this. You know, when we get down to the nitty-gritty of what separates these things. And oftentimes, it's personal preference. And oftentimes, it's little things that don't matter. And if they were in a vacuum on their own, you would never even talk about them. You know, you would just say, this is a great match for these reasons, the end, right? But because, and this is sort of the downside to doing a list like this, is that you're forced to find a negative. Where sometimes it doesn't really exist.
We had a discussion already. The only negatives I have nothing to do with the match itself, and it has to do with forces outside of the control of both wrestlers.
So
they can't control the camera angles. They can't control the table not breaking. We talked about how Okada Omega, for instance, was a perfect match. It's flawless. I can't find a flaw in this match that's outside of the two wrestlers being, i.e., they don't botch a single fucking move in this entire match.
So
everything is... Oh, I'm sorry. Everything is deliberate. Everything has a specific purpose. And as we've said before, they check every box.
Okay.
And then you asked me this question when we reviewed Kurt Angle and Samoa Joe. You asked me, what do you come to wrestling for? This.
I agree. I can definitely agree with that wholeheartedly. And... what I want to challenge you with, though, is one of the things that you said was that, you know, we talked about Okada and Omega being a perfect match. Currently, that perfect match is number 3.
Yeah.
But this match, and the thing is, you said that the things that make it a perfect match is just those two, and all those other things doesn't mean it wasn't a perfect match. Well... is that necessarily true? Can we say that that's true? Because there could be two indie wrestlers out there who have a perfect match somewhere else, but it will never be considered one of the greatest matches of all time because of the stage that it's on and so many other factors that it makes it difficult, right? So the production value does matter. The stage that you're on does matter. The story you're telling does matter. All of these things are components we have to consider.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I agree with that. I was going to go that way. I was going to talk about the perfect match thing because we sort of all have agreed that Omega Okada is as perfect as wrestling gets in terms of putting on a wrestling match.
The only negative is the 62 and a half minute length of them. That's the only negative to it.
And so,
and that's personal preference.
Right. And so this match feels that way. Like, I feel the same way after watching this match that I felt after watching Omega Okada, which was incredible story. I see no flaws. Would watch 1,000 times again. Mm-hmm. The
absolutely.
Whole thing. Like, I feel eerily similar.
There's not a match in this list that I would not sit down and watch like 12 times in a row.
Well, right.
Maybe not,
yeah.
Maybe
I mean,
not in a row.
Again,
but...
yeah. We've got 81 of the greatest ever. We're going to watch all these again.
I would, if we had to expedite this and just jump all the way up, because obviously it sounds like we're floating in top 5 territory. I would not put this over Hiroshi Tanahashi versus Kazuchika Okada.
Neither would I. I would put it at number 6.
If I had to put it somewhere, I would put it at number 6 over Rock Austin. I think a really solid argument could be made for why WrestleMania 17's main event was better than this match. I think a really solid argument could be made why Bret Hart and Owen Hart had a better match in the opening of WrestleMania 10. Savage Steamboat, same deal. So I think my range is somewhere between 6 and 9.
6 and 9?
6 and 9.
Yeah. Yeah. I personally would go over Savage and Steamboat. I understand. If you're listening to this, CJ Goodspeed, you will be very upset. But it's a great match. Do yourself a favor, watch it again. That's all I'm saying. I mean, it's one of our top 10 ever. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I'm
it's
not
still
shitting
be a
on
top
it anyway.
10 match.
So I personally would go over that. I can absolutely see the conversation about 6 and 7 and why I wouldn't necessarily go over Rock Austin or Hart versus Hart. So I'm comfortable going 7 or 8 above or below Bret and Owen.
So we're literally all in the exact same range.
I think so. Yeah.
But I literally wrote down and made a promise to myself that I would not back down. I'm kidding. No, you guys.
You may not back down, but you may be outvoted.
You guys are in. I said and I'm putting my notes. I am fighting. When you said 6 to 9, I'm like, cool, because that's the range I promised.
That's
that
what
I would
you wanted.
Fight
that
for.
Was the range you were fighting for.
I will
so,
fight for that.
I think I'm most comfortable putting it above Savage Steamboat and under Bret Hart versus Owen.
At number 8?
At number 8.
Spencer?
Works for me.
You heard it here, folks. It's the new number 8 is Kurt Angle versus Shawn Michaels from WrestleMania 21, a.k.a. WrestleMania Goes Hollywood.
But what do you think? Do you yes. think we're overselling Hart versus Hart? Was that match not quite as good as what was happening here? You know, it just what we're doing is so difficult. So we would love your input.
Yeah, if you think it, send us an email. DM me. Do not post on my private wall, but you can DM me.
Please stop posting on Paul's private wall.
You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, no, this was, I mean, listen, this was a tough conversation. We've got a long way to go, guys, and they're only going to get more challenging, and that's just the way it goes. But we like it, and we, you know, it does have us butt heads a little bit, and we do disagree. That's part of the fun. That's why being wrestling fans is so interesting, because yes. everyone feels so very differently about things. My personal opinion is, if you don't think this is one of the 10 greatest matches of all time, then you don't like wrestling. Like, that's, you know, that's sort of how I feel. So what do you come to wrestling for?
This.
What are you coming to wrestling for? That's a big part of this. So let us know what you think. Absolutely. Also, be on the lookout for polls here in Season 5.
Yes.
We want your input. We want your vote onto what episodes and what matches we're going to cover in our
what
future episodes in Season
5. What matches do you want to see us mock? Just kidding. Which ones do you want to see us rank?
So huge thank you again to you guys. Make sure you're following us on Twitter and Facebook at Last Match Cast. You can send us an email, like Paul said, at lastmatchseeing@gmail.com. Rate, review, subscribe. All of those things would be super, super helpful to us. Thanks again to Manscaped for the support
yes.
this season. And
your balls will thank you.
Season 5 is here, locked
Can
and
you
loaded
believe it?
And ready. We are on the road to 100.
Yep.
So until episode 82, I'm Spencer.
Send all your hate at me. I'm Paul.
I'm Landon.
And this is Last Match Standing.